Let's talk some Leafs now. Jeff Fayette joins us, editor at the Leafs Nation, to talk about the Maple Leafs. And, of course, they hope to be joining this postseason party as well. Jeff, thanks very much for being with us. And, well, you know, up until yesterday, the Leafs had been on such a roll. The positivity is so great. But it shows you, Jeff, the fine line between winning and losing, because that loss to the Sabres, combined with some teams behind them winning, all of a sudden we're right back in a dogfight.
Yeah, that's the reality of the schedule, isn't it? Especially at this time of year when you have a couple teams that are so close together. It looks like they're still in pretty good shape, though. It would require a pretty catastrophic fall from Toronto and a couple of really, really big pushes from the likes of the Islanders, the Bruins, the Lightning for that to completely fall apart, but definitely a little bit more reason to be worried and maybe not as full-on confident as a couple days ago.
Jeff, we always try to, you know, prognosticate, figure it out, and then first, even while we're doing that, try to analyze. Last night's game against the Sabres, this is just a case of three games in 4 days, and I'm not making excuses for the Maple Leafs because teams have to do it, but when you combine the mandated CBA five-day break and, you know, the later start for the World Cup of Hockey and the condensing of the schedule, we all know the reasons why, but it just seems kind of unfortunate this time of the year when everybody is battling fatigue to start with, you're kind of dealt with those kind of schedules.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that you need to worry too much about. Every so often you have a game like this where your team just they run into a scheduling issue like that. Like you said, three games and four nights is not an easy one. And the league is so close together that if you're a little tired, you can get pounced on. And they're, especially in the second period, Buffalo was a grossly more energized team. And that really came to behind Toronto. At the same time, these things still happen pretty often. If you look at most of the league, when you look at games that teams lose by at least three goals, Toronto's right in the middle of where things are at. Most teams, it happens to about 10, 15 times a year. They're sitting at 12. So it's not completely abnormal for nights like this to happen. It always feels rough to see it, but it's not completely off guard.
There's always a fear when you're, well, Leaf fans in the last 10 years, you get to be afraid of everything this time of year. But there's always a fear that younger teams may not be able to keep up to the grind. That has not been the case with the Maple Leafs at all, as we saw. And especially that stretch, starting in Tampa Bay with a 5-0 win, getting a point from Chicago at home, which is always tough, beating Boston, winning in Columbus, beating the Devils on the second of a back-to-back. So you take away that game, that's not happening. But now we're down to the last 8 games of the season, and it gets more and more and more intense. If Freddie Anderson is hurt, and there is nothing to indicate that it is a serious injury yet, but if it turns out to be, how much does that change the landscape, the dynamic, the expectations of the Leafs' chances?
It's a bit of a complicated question. First off, we obviously need to find out what happened with Anderson. There's some good reason to believe that it may not have been that serious. The talk about other doctors being involved probably hints at it being a precaution for one of the head collisions that he had either with William Carrier or Evander Kane in the first period. So if that's the case, it's probably something that's either nothing at all or very little or something that might only take him out for a couple of games. If that is the case, though, there are a couple of options for them. They do have Curtis McElhinney, who has had some impressive games at the same time, has faltered in some of them as well. They have Garrett Sparks, who's been incredible for the Marlies over the past couple months. He missed a month with an injury, but this weekend he had two really stellar games, 28 saves yesterday and a 26-save shutout today. So he might be in better shape to do the stretch than he was late last year. And, I mean, if there's always the nuclear option, too. You can theoretically go grab a goalie for a couple of weeks, someone who can't necessarily play in the playoffs, but maybe somebody on an expiring deal on a team that's out of the loop that might want to cash out at a low asset cost. That's something that they can look at, too. Do I think that's something they would do? I don't know. Do I think it's something they need to do? Probably not. And having Anderson in and having him healthy would obviously be preferred, but they might be able to still keep going without him.
Jeff Fayette is with us, editor at the Leaf Nation. I'm Roger Lajoie. As we talk about the Maple Leafs and crunch time for sure, 8 games in the regular season, and the Leafs trying to hold on to that playoff spot. Now, when we get into it, it's interesting, Jeff. There's nothing you can do about it. We talk about the importance of matchups, but you can't control your own matchup. There's no way you can do it. You can say, well, you know what, the best thing is to play this team, but things can change. One difference, though, I guess, is the New York Rangers. You see them sitting in the Metropolitan Division where they're at, and if they stay where they're at, they will play an Atlantic Division team, and they will bypass Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus in the first round while they beat up on each other. In theory, in numbers, just based on the standings, it makes perfect sense. Maybe talk about how important those matchups are, and then back to the Leafs. Staying ahead of Boston and avoiding the Washington Capitals in the first round surely has to be something of paramount importance, or is it?
Yeah, I think their ideal spot is to finish second or third in the division. Obviously, whoever wins is going to end up facing the Rangers, and while the Rangers aren't exactly the powerhouses on top of the Metropolitan, they're still a very scary team that's had some bad luck in the past couple of weeks, so there's a good chance that things will come back around for them. On the other hand, if you're finishing that three seed, you're probably taking on the Ottawa Senators. And if you're getting into the two, you're taking them on home ice. And that's something that looks really interesting to me. At the end of the day, they've been a team that's been better than expected as far as the standings go, but they get outshot in a lot of games. They don't necessarily have control of a lot of their games. You look at them, and a lot of it's goaltending. A lot of it has been some good luck in a one-goal game situation. And that's a series that you want to kind of roll the dice on. I feel any team that's going to go against Ottawa in the first round probably likes their chances. As far as facing Washington, that's obviously the scariest. I know Barry Trotz is a huge fan of how the Leafs have built their team, and he's been keeping a keen eye on them. So I bet he's got a specific scenario in play if he wants to face them. And they're obviously an incredibly loaded team. Toronto just needs to focus on getting as many points as they can just for the sole sake of making sure they get into the playoffs. But I definitely think that second or third is going to be the most opportune spot for them to finish.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that one on any level. So 8 games left to get those points, 5 at home, 3 on the road. It's an interesting dynamic, to say the least, because you look at these 8 last games, home to Florida. Well, never mind the home or away, but games against Florida, Detroit, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay, i.e. likely 4 teams that miss the playoffs, although Tampa Bay is still alive, or 4 games against Nashville, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. However, Pittsburgh and Columbus in particular, by April 8th and 9th, may already have their positions locked in and wouldn't care as much and maybe dress a backup goaltender. I guess there's no such thing as an easy game, is there?
Yeah, I don't think so, but I think you bring up a good point at the end there about them being about Pittsburgh and Columbus being able to let off the gas a little bit near the very end. Same with Washington. Those are 3 of the last 4 games of the year. If you're going to take these teams, this is probably the perfect order to have them in. You have Florida that looked really good against the Hawks and obviously fed the Leafs a lunch the last time they played. But beyond that, haven't been overly brilliant throughout the year, definitely below expectation. Detroit is usually one of the easier games to control, and I feel like Toronto's going to be a little eager to face Buffalo and get another crack at the next time they face them. To get the big teams right near the end when they're going to be experimenting and keeping people a little bit more rested in time for the playoffs, that's kind of what you want. If you're going to have this group, this is the right way to go about it. It doesn't necessarily make it easy by any means, but it gives them a fighting chance throughout these final 8 games.
And finally, you know, Jeff, we talk about this team, and it's been Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner. I mean, those 3 rookies have had brilliant seasons. JVR and Kadri and Bozak and Jake Gardner are the next 4 scorers. Maybe talk a little bit about what they bring to the mix here as we get down to the nerve-wracking games. And full credit to the rookies, who have not been the least bit fazed by the pressure of a playoff chase in Toronto, which is astronomical, but it's only going to get worse, especially if it tightens up at all. Remember, the Leafs are only 3 points up on that final playoff spot. Talk about the importance of the veteran players who have been here before and at least been in a playoff series, many of them in that series against Boston, try to keep everybody on an even keel here and settle it down if things get a little jittery.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes a bit both ways, though. I think when you look at the kids, they also haven't had to deal with being at this stage before. You can almost say that they don't know any better, and that might work to their advantage too. But I think the veterans definitely have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, especially since the older group are all guys that were here the last time that the team was in this position, and they're going to want to have another chance at proving that what happened in 2013 isn't what they are. They're going to want to prove that they are legitimate players on any stage, not just for a few moments in the regular season, that they are that there's someone that any team would want. And I think that they're very capable of it. Kadri's obviously been lights out this year. Jake Gardner's having a fantastic year. And the Van Riemsdyk and Bozak line with Mitch Marner has played extremely well on the from an offensive perspective. Will that keep going? I guess they would hope so. And I don't see any reason that it would come down to pressure. It might come down to luck. But I think that as long as their brains are in it, they'll turn out just fine.
Jeff Fayette joining us, editor at the Leafs Nation. The Maple Leafs get ready to host Florida on Tuesday as they hope to hang on to that at least final playoff spot. Right now, third in the division and sitting pretty, and a potential first-round matchup against Ottawa. And how much fun would that be? Jeff, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much, and have a great week.
Thanks for having me. You too.